So you guys have proposed and submitted designs for a satanic monument to be put up at the Capitol here in Oklahoma City. What's your reasoning behind Oklahoma, of all places, just because the Ten Commandments monument is here and it's kind of opened up the opportunity for you guys to make a statement, or is there more to it than that?
Well, Oklahoma, for one thing, because we have membership in Oklahoma, which gives us standing. They apprised us of the situation with the Ten Commandments monument in Oklahoma. So we actually submitted our proposal on behalf of Oklahoman membership. And so, but the thing is, we are putting our monument in contrast to the Ten Commandments monument being there. We would have never pushed to have the laws contorted as such that we could put a monument there standing in solitude. We wouldn't want that. Our monument specifically is meant to complement and contrast the Ten Commandments monument, because while it may be better if there aren't any such monuments in the public square at all, so long as there are, we feel it's so much better if there's a multiplicity of voices, if different voices are recognized, rather than allowing a singular voice to co-opt the power and authority of the state capitol.
Do you think that there would be this much of a pushback if it was any other religion, you know, like Hindu? I think there was a Hindu group who was talking about putting up a monument, or, you know, if it was any religion other than Satanism, you think there would be this much of an uproar over it?
Well, that's hard to say, but I have a suspicion that any other religion is generally just as unwelcome, and maybe after a certain point the arguments become less tenable. So I would like to see that the Hindus continue to push forward with theirs. But the fact of the matter is, these things should have been considered from the get-go when the legislature decided to let one type of monument in. The question should always be, are we really prepared to let all voices be heard? Because that is really the basis of our constitutional freedom. We have freedom of religion, we have freedom of speech, and they can't engage in viewpoint discrimination. So it's an utter failure on the part of those who allowed the Ten Commandments to go up, if they never considered to begin with, if they were prepared to deal with this type of situation. And given some of the crass statements we've heard from representatives since, it seems that this never crossed their minds at all.
Do you think that making a statement like this, whether it's approved as a monument or not, do you think at the very least this will be kind of a lesson in tolerance for the general public? I mean, what do you hope to achieve out of this?
Actually, I think that dialogue has already been happening, and we've been flooded with emails, and I'm very happy generally with the response. Of course, certain pushback and hate mail was expected, but that's by far the minority of what we've been receiving. And by and large, the response we've been getting, and the response I can see when I peruse the internet and look at comment sections, is that people, while they might not be willing to embrace Satanism as such, they are perfectly at ease embracing the idea of the diversity of voices, and they understand that if you allow one, you have to allow them all, and they're encouraging that we should have the rights to put our monument up. And I think this whole event really has opened people's eyes to that, and has made people be a lot more vocal and in favor of this. So I think there's been a positive outcome already, and I'm really happy about it.
Now, you said you have membership here in Oklahoma. That's surprising to me. Do you have a large membership here in Oklahoma? Is it really active?
Well, we have a much larger membership now since this happened. We had a few people when we were starting out who apprised us of the situation. But since we put in our proposal, and since it's gotten media attention, we've had a lot of people in Oklahoma reach out to us and want to become membership, and a lot of people reaching out to us offering whatever support they could give if we needed more people to sign affidavits or waivers to indicate that we do represent this segment of the population in Oklahoma.
Something that I was looking at on your website is, there's kind of a list of tenets of the the satanic religion, faith, what have you. And a lot of it is not what a lot of people probably equate with Satanism. You know, when you think Satanism, a lot of people have the visual of, you know, blood sacrifices and all this crazy stuff. What would you want people to learn about Satanism that they wouldn't really connect in their minds just when the word comes up? I mean, what's the important thing people should know about Satanism that they don't understand in general?
One thing that they should realize is that the hysterical horror stories that they've heard, particularly from the 80s and 90s during the recovered memory movement, this kind of irresponsible quack therapy, the same for which we have people recovering memories of alien abduction. They would also they also latched onto this mythology of the satanic cult conspiracy theory, this parallel society of Satanists that would go about killing babies in mobile crematoriums and all these other things that never actually happened and were always attributed in previous centuries to Jews and weren't practices exercised by Jews either. There's been this conspiracy theory of an out-group that's followed around. There's kind of been an aesthetic body built from this, and different elements of that have been taken and embraced into this satanic aesthetic. But the kind of Satanism that self-identified Satanists latch onto harkens more to the romantic writers of Byron, Shelley, Blake, and back to Milton's Paradise Lost, where Satan is kind of turned into this icon of revolt against tyranny. And that's really the core motivator behind self-identified Satanists, from what I see, is the rejection of arbitrary authority, the respect for personal sovereignty, and the pursuit of knowledge, however uncomfortable that knowledge might be. And so for that reason, we can embrace a religious construct without embracing supernaturalism, but we feel a kind of transcendence from that rejection. So the kind of Satanism that people usually imagine when it comes to homicidal cults never existed at all.
So actually, the iconography of Satanism and the pop culture representation of it is really far off, and a lot and really the recognition of Satanism is a lot of embracing of civil disobedience and questioning authority, which is actually pretty well reflected in what you guys are doing with this monument now. Is that fair? Am I correct in saying that?
Oh yeah, for us it's funny because there's been this question of sincerity and are we just doing this as a political ploy or is it a real religion? Well, to us, it's both. This kind of activity is the very core of our religious philosophy, but it is a narrative construct. It is an aesthetic body. It is something that enriches us in our daily lives, a philosophy that contextualizes our works and goals. So for us, that is religion. This is the very heart of it. So what you see is really what we are, and we don't feel any less the religion for it.
What else can you tell me as far as what you guys are working on with the monument, your faith in general, or, you know, the growth of the membership in Oklahoma, anything that you want to add that our listeners would be interested in learning about?
Well, yeah, while we're moving forward, we're incorporating and moving forward with lawyers so that we can legally ordain people and those kinds of things. And you'll see within our tenets we have certain clauses, one of which being that the body is inviolable subject to one's own will alone. So we're going to push forward for exemptions and privileges for our membership, which we feel are quite called for as a counterbalance given some of the things people are subjected to on what might be grounds of other religions that are contrary to the liberties of our membership. And one of those things is corporal punishment in schools. We don't feel kids should be beaten in schools. They're still allowed to be beaten in 19 states. And given the inviolability clause we have, the tenant against somebody's encroachment on another's body, we feel we should be able to have waivers drawn up, exemptions that schools can sign at the beginning of the year so that they understand they would be encroaching on a child's religious liberty. They're going to embrace the tenets of the Satanic Temple if they engage in beating on that kid. That kid will be exempt on religious grounds. Another thing is the transvaginal ultrasounds that were introduced as a method of trying to dissuade women from abortions by these invasive, superfluous procedures. We feel, given that they are invasive and superfluous, that it also violates the inviolability of the body tenet. And we were hoping to have exemptions drawn up for female membership, that they don't have to be subjected to this as well. And we want to move forward with that kind of thing and offer countermeasures for people on the grounds of religious exemption through our organization. And we're going to move forward with those kinds of agendas as we're doing this monument thing as well. I think we're showing right now that there's no small segment of the population who agrees with what we're doing. And a lot of people will send us emails also. There's a lot of people who embrace everything we seem to be doing on a political level, but they ask, well, why Satanism? Why wouldn't people take you more seriously if you were able to call it something else, to latch onto another type of iconography? And the thing is we feel we couldn't call it anything else, and that this is best embodies what we do. And, you know, we have this kind of cultural construct that we gravitate to, and you really can't just convert that over to anything else. But also, part of the good, I think, that we're doing is forcing people to reevaluate these superstitious demonologies in these outgroup labels. The witch-hunting impulse is something that we should really try to drive out of ourselves and re-examine skeptically. I mean, just in modern history alone, accusations of Satanism against people who had no interest in self-identifying as Satanism or had no connection with any organized practice as such have destroyed people's lives. So I think it's really important to shake up people's preconceptions and force them to judge people for their concrete actions in the real world. And if we can do that, I think we've done a lot of good.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
All right, thank you so much.